So we're reading from Brahma Samhita, text number 11. It's on page 24, if anyone has a book. Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat Sahasra Bahur Vishvatma Sahasra Sahasramsha Sahasrasu. The Lord of the mundane world, Mahavishnu, possesses thousands of heads, eyes, and hands. He is a source of thousands of avatars, in his thousands of subjective portions. He is the creator of thousands of individual souls. That can be said another way. Another translation of the same thing, verse 11. That Lord of the universe, Mahavishnu, possesses thousands upon thousands of heads, eyes, arms, legs, etc. Thousands upon thousands of incarnations, upon thousands of plenary expansions. He's the soul of the universe and the creator of thousands of individual souls. So it's a lot of thousands. Sahasra. So we know that a thousand names of Vishnu is equal to one name of Krishna. So we just say Krishna, 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 hey? And it's equal to thousands and thousands of names. This is told in one of the Puranas where it's glorifying the holy name. It says that we have Vishnu Sahasranam that describes a thousand names of Vishnu. But in this Puranic quotation, it says you chant a thousand names of Vishnu, which takes about 15 minutes. You get the same purification of heart and sukriti or piety that you get from chanting one time the name of Krishna. But this is describing, it'd be interesting here how the Acharyas explain this verse. In the purport, Mahavishnu, the object of worship of the hymns of all the Vedas, is possessed of an infinity of senses and potencies, and he is the prime avatar, Purusha, the source of all other avatars. In other words, Mahavishnu he's endowed with infinite senses and potencies, and he's the original avatar from whom all other avatars descend. And so in this series of verses now, we're going to discuss Mahavishnu and his relation to the creation. 11, 12, 13, 14. But what Jiva Goswami says in this regard, is that actually they're one. It's like you're one person, you do different things. You have an artistic, maybe you might have a musical part of yourself, so you sit down and make music. And you have a teaching part of yourself where you sit down and teach. And you have a mother part of yourself where you be a mother. Or a husband part of yourself where you act as a husband. So you're one person, but you have different functions in relation to different places and people and times. And you act according to those functions, just like a person who knows different languages. One minute he's speaking Russian, another minute he's speaking Hindi, the next minute he's speaking English. So it changes. So that Jiva Goswami says that we should keep in mind that these three Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and Shiradakshay Vishnu, which are discussed over these next six or eight verses, are actually all one person. And then he explains how that it's just one super soul present in different places. So he says, Mahavishnu was the super soul of the entire material creation. Garbhadakshay Vishnu is the super soul of every universe. And Shiradakshay Vishnu is the super soul in the heart of all living entities. Although we use terms like Garbhadakshay Vishnu expands from Mahavishnu, the fact is that all three are eternal and ever existing. Because we'll discuss this in another point about the way we think. We think in a linear way, or in terms of the three phases of time which we are prisoners in. We're prisoners of the past, present, and future. So we try to, they have like the timeline of history. Sometimes they put in a classroom and children's school, the 1600s and the 1400s and the 1700s and the future, whatever. called a timeline. So our brains and minds kind of work in this, you know, start, beginning and finish, the creation, the beginning. In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and it was God. But there's no such thing as beginning. It's ever existing, it's eternal. So it's a little hard to compact into our brain, you know, this kind of multidimensional thinking when we only think in a linear way. But this is, for our limited understanding, it's said that one Vishnu expands from the other. But all three, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Shiradakshaya Vishnu, they're explained in the same way. When you see the Puranas or the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes you get confused when you're reading. You say, oh, wait a minute, which Vishnu are we talking about here? Because sometimes even in these verses, they just say Vishnu, or they say Mahasankarshan. But it's not Mahasankarshan, it's actually, sometimes it's Mahavishnu, who's an expansion of Mahasankarshan. Or sometimes it's Shiradakshaya Vishnu. So, but it, as far as Brahma, when Brahma is describing, or in the Bhagavatam, or other, wait a minute, which Vishnu is this? You know, because we're trying to put it in our time frame of our mind. But it's actually all the same Vishnu. It's just one Vishnu. So it's like there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Everywhere is hands and legs, is eyes and faces. This is in the 13th chapter, Nature and Joy are in Conscience. So this verse we read in Brahma Samhita, verse 11, if you have your book, Sahasra Shirsha Purusha, Sahasraksha, Sahasrapat, Sahasrabahur, Sahasramshu, Sahasrasu. Sahasra means 1,000, Vishnu Sahasranam, Radha Sahasranam. Right, there's the Radha Sahasranam also. So this is chapter 13, verse 14. Sarvatak Panipadam Tat Sarvatok Shishiro Mukam Sarvata Shutima Loke Sarvam Avritya Tishtati. So in other words, so again, it's Sarvata, it says everywhere. Everywhere is hands and legs, eyes and heads and faces. And he has ears everywhere. In this way, the Super Soul exists, pervading everything. So the Super Soul is everywhere. So now the question is, why in this verse, why do we say that Mahavishnu has thousands of heads, thousands of eyes? Does anyone have any idea? You see the verse, it says, just like the verse in Gita says, everywhere is hands and faces, his legs. So why do we say that? Why does Brahma say that? Sahasra. So Jiva Goswami, he asks the question, then he answers it, because we don't have the answer. Why we say Mahavishnu has thousands of heads and eyes? Because all of the thousands of Garbhadakshaya Vishnus, plus all the thousands of Shiradakshaya Vishnus, plus all the unlimited living entities within the universe are counted together as his eyes and heads, etc. In other words, you are some of those thousands of eyes. Sahasrakshu. So all the living entities have thousands of eyes. Just like they asked Srila Prabhupada. Well, we heard that the spiritual master, he's like the super soul of the disciple. You know, he's like super soul. He knows, what's the phrase? He knows the heart of the disciple. But some people might say, well, I don't know. He doesn't seem to know my heart. Or if he does, why isn't he responding? Or, you know, there's different feelings we may have time to time. But that phrase is there, the spiritual master knows the heart of the disciple. So how is that? So they asked some disciples, asked Prabhupada, how do you know about your disciples? Is it true that you're the super soul? And Prabhupada said, no, wait a minute. He said, I'm not Shiradakshaya Vishnu. I'm not all pervading in every atom and every, you know, in every molecule, like, and every, you know, you're sitting on Shiradakshaya Vishnu, you're breathing Shiradakshaya Vishnu. He's in the air, in the walls, he's everywhere. That's not me. I'm not Brahman. I'm your guru. I'm localized. I have a localized form. But he says, the way I understand about my disciple is that because Krishna's in their heart, And Krishna is everywhere as Shiradaksha Vishnu. He's seeing everything, and everywhere his eyes, and everywhere his ears and nose and everything. And Krishna, in my heart, he tells me. There's three ways I know about my disciples. One way is that Krishna, the super soul in my heart, he tells me, oh, this disciple's having trouble, this, that. And then the second way is that the disciple himself reveals his mind. That's pragmatic. Disciple says, hey Gurudev, guess what? I'm a mess. Or I'm in trouble, or I'm in bliss, or I'm, you know, whatever. Or that, and then the third way is that somebody else tells me about him. Like a temple president, or a commander, or a Sankirtan leader, or whoever, some sannyasi traveling around. So I met your disciple in Copenhagen, and he seemed really not too Krishna conscious these days. Oh, really? What happened? Oh, well, this, that. Then all of a sudden, you know, 2 days later, disciple gets a call on the phone from Guru. Or no, I guess they don't call on the phone. I guess email. Email from his Gurudev when he cranks open his computer after his breakfast, right? Oh, hey. Email from Gurudev. Hey, how does he know? How does he know? Acha. Oh. You know, and then, so like that, and that everywhere are Vishnu's hands and legs and ears, and he's informed himself of the movements of living entities, and his representatives are also informed about those particular family members who have chosen to surrender to him. So that's what Jiva Goswami says, that what this verse is all about. Did Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Shiradakshaya Vishnu are not different persons, but one person with different features. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is Pradyumna, Shiradakshaya Vishnu is Aniruddha, and Mahavishnu is Mahasankarshan. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Shiradakshaya Vishnu are two manifestations of the same person, Mahasankarshan or Mahavishnu. I'm going to go on to verse 12 unless you have a question. Yes. Nara and Narayana. Nara is Arjuna, Narayana is Krishna. Arjuna, because there's also a Nara and Narayana avatar, and they're, I don't know when they appear exactly, it's explained 11th canto in Satyuga or something, but they are now, to this day, they're residing in Badrinath, Badrikashram, Nara and Narayana, this form of Krishna as Narayana and Arjuna as Nara. In 11th canto, it discusses about them also. And in different Vedic literatures, it explains that, I mentioned some of my earlier classes, that all the avatars of the Lord, they come through Shiradakshaya Vishnu. So sometimes it says Shiradakshaya Vishnu, as we're hearing today, they're all the same person. Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Shiradakshaya are all one person with different features. As I meant, the very poor analogy of you as one person being you the musician, you the mother, you the teacher, you the tennis player, you the whatever, you know, different features of yourself and different functions, but you're one person. So in that story in Krishna book, 10th canto, Mahavishnu is saying that, you know, you Krishna and your avatar, as your avatar Narayan and Narayan who's Arjuna, you come through me, or you expanded through me. But it's true in one sense, but it's also true that Krishna is the Sarva Avatari, that he's the source of all the avatars. But he makes it appear that way. Just like, you know, I build this house, and I build this Gurukul, and I hire somebody to build all these doors. And then one day I come in this room and I walk through the door and you say, oh, you came through the door. You know, and then someone says, well, what's the source? What's the source of this person? Well, I don't know. I never saw him until he came through the door. The source is the door. You know, the door is the source of this person coming into this room. So the avatars come through Shiradakshaya Vishnu or Mahavishnu, as it's sometimes described, into this world. But they already exist long before that. And as we're hearing in Brahma Samhita and other places, that they themselves, in fact, in their expanded plenary, as they say, plenary forms, are actually the source of Mahavishnu. So Krishna himself is the source of all the avatars, but in that Leela, Mahavishnu is speaking that, wait a minute, you've come from me, but I want to see you, you're so attractive. So you can see even by that pastime that you're citing that even if you say that Mahavishnu is the source of Krishna, Krishna is more than Mahavishnu. He's so attractive that Mahavishnu wants to see him. He's not satisfied seeing his own reflection in a mirror. Right? So that the byproduct is greater than the cause, which does never exist in creation. So the byproduct of Mahavishnu is Krishna, but he's more attractive and more beautiful than the cause himself, who is Mahavishnu, who stole all those sons of the Brahmins so he could have darshan of Krishna. That's part of the story, is to illustrate the extraordinary attractive beauty of Krishna as one of his super excellent qualities that distinguishes Krishna from all other avatars, Sarvaishvarya Purna. One of the things is beauty. He's so beautiful that even Mahavishnu, who is the source of so many avatars, he makes arrangements to get Krishna to come there so he can have his darshan. Because Mahavishnu knows he's not qualified to enter Krishna Lila. He can't come down here. So he has to do some trick to get Krishna to come up there. So he knows that Krishna has surrendered to his pure devotees. So because Arjuna is going to give up his life in the fire because he couldn't save the sons of the Brahmins from what seemed like death, so then to save his devotee Arjuna, Krishna went to Mahavishnu to get those sons of the Brahmins. Because Krishna is a servant of his pure devotees. But he's not a servant of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu doesn't have the adhikar to come to Braj Leela or Dwarka Leela. So he steals those sons of the Brahmins from Dwarka. And then by that trick he gets Krishna to come to his place. Because Krishna can go anywhere. He has the adhikar to go everywhere. Text 12. As my one friend said, oh, just go through all those verses till 29. Just go through those in a couple of days and then just start talking about Krishna again. Because 29 and 30, what's verse 29? Chintamani prakarasat machukapu riksha. Then, all about Krishna and the spiritual world and Chintamani and Kamadenu and, oh yeah, nectar. But now we have to struggle from 12 to 13 to 14 to 15. We have to go from 12 to 29. So he said, can't you just do those in a couple of days and then, So, let's see. Verse 12. Narayana Savagavan Apastasmat Sanatanat Avirasit Karanano Nidhi Sankarshanatmaka Yoganidram Gatastasmin Sahasramsha Swayam Mahan. Translation. The same Mahavishnu is spoken of by the name Narayan in this mundane world. Narayana, 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 Narayana. Like Narada Muni goes around like. From that eternal person, Narayan or Mahavishnu, has sprung the vast expanse of water of the spiritual causal ocean, the Karna Samudra. Here it says Karna Arna, Nidhi. Nidhi means ocean or treasure. Karana Arna Nidhi. The causal ocean, Karnava Samudra. The subjective portion of Sankarshan, who abides in the Paravyom, the above supreme Purusha with thousands of subjective portions, reposes in the state of deep sleep, Yoga Nidra, in the waters of the spiritual causal ocean. In other words, Mahavishnu is also known as Narayan in the mundane world, and Mahavishnu reclines upon the waters of the causal ocean in a state of Yoga Nidra, which is divine sleep. Purport. Yoga Nidra is spoken of as an ecstatic trance, which is of the nature of the bliss of the true subjective personality. The above mentioned Ramadevi is Yoga Nidra in the form of Yoga Maya. In other words, above mentioned means mentioned several verses above. Mentioned several verses before this one, number 12. Ramadevi is herself Yoga Nidra personified as Yoga Maya, the divine potency of the Lord. So, practically speaking, even a person in this mundane world, when they go to sleep, it may appear like an ecstatic trance. which is of the nature of the bliss of the true subjective personality. Maybe when you go to sleep and you project yourself into dreams, that's your real true personality. And that's a blissful experience you may have. And you say, oh, this is my, this, like Eva says, it's an ecstatic trance, which is of the nature of the bliss of the true subjective personality. In other words, subjective, this me is a subject, right? The object and the subject. So my true subjective personality manifests when I rest, and I'm in ecstasy. But when I wake up, I'm some brahmachari or some grihastha or some wife or a lady or whatever, and it's like really a drag and really a lot of hard work. Well, so it's interesting because some people, they don't like to wake up. They say, oh, it was such a nice dream. Or, you know, like I told before, that my one friend said, Maharaj, you should understand, my one friend had a very incredible dream, and he went to his guru, and his guru told him, he said, in Vrindavan, dreams are reality. And outside of Vrindavan, reality is a dream. So I thought, well, that's really good. I don't know if it applies in everyone's case, or at all in some cases, but at least it's a sweet thought. So this verse talks about Yoga Nidra and Karana Samudra, and we'll discuss some things about that. Karana Samudra means the causal ocean. We briefly touched on this a couple of weeks ago when we mentioned how it's not an ocean like, you know, going to Jagannath Puri and going for a swim in the ocean. And it's not like the Pacific Ocean, it's not like the Mediterranean, it's not like the Black Sea, it's not like the North Sea, it's not like the Thames, it's not like, you know, it's the Rhone, it's not like any river, the Ganga, it's not like that. It's an ocean of cause, karana. Well, what's an ocean of cause? Viraja, ocean of cause, so we'll see. It says, Mahavishnu is described as floating on a causal ocean. But is it water like the Indian Ocean? No, it's not at all. It's an ocean of karana, cause. It's spiritual water. It says that millions of universes are floating in that ocean. It's not really water like a material ocean that we know. This, again, is some way to just try to describe it. It's an ocean of cause. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev is like describing something by describing, using the same, you know, definition with the same thing that it is. It's an ocean of cause. What is an ocean of cause? An ocean of cause is an ocean of cause. I mean, in other words, it's indescribable. In Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami describes it as an ocean or floating on the water for the benefit of us, so that we can understand or somehow imagine what's going on. Somehow imagine what's going on. That's all that the acharyas say about it. The rest is, you have to fill it in. And in this verse, so we talk about the Karana Samudra, ocean of cause, and we say that another name for Mahavishnu is Narayan. So why is he called Narayan? It's Ayana and Nara. Basically, it's two words, Nara and Ayana. So we say, Keshavadrita Nara Hari Rupa. Nara means, like he said, Nara Narayan. Nara means man or human being, right? Everyone knows that. Nara Hari means half lion, half man, right? So Nara Ayana. So this is why you have this word Narayan. So Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, there's some verses where Lord Brahma, he glorifies the Lord as Lord Narayan. Nara means man, Ayana means one whose abode is water. Ayana means, the word Ayana means one who lives in the water. So he has a human-like form and he lives in the water, that's one meaning of it. Narayan also means the aggregate of all living beings. Ayana, the word Ayana also means the refuge of, or shelter of all living beings. The three Vishnus are all sustained by Lord Krishna. Narayan gives shelter to all living entities. though Krishna or any of the three Purusha avatars can give shelter to the living entities. Right? So Narayana means one who gives shelter. So any one of those avatars, Shiradakshai Vishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, they're all called Narayan. Narayan. Nara means living being or living entity, and Ayana means to give shelter, or one who lives in the water. So, just like we say that the super soul is floating in the heart, in the region of the heart. Well, that's the same thing as the causal ocean. The super soul, Shiradakshai Vishnu, and the Atma, or the soul, is also floating on an ocean of cause in the heart. Just like the Mahavishnu is resting on an ocean of cause, of the Karana Samudra, and Garbhadakshai Vishnu. So, as Jiva Goswami says, any one of these forms of Vishnu can give shelter to the living entity. So Narayana is also in the heart. That's why when Narada Muni is playing, he's always, in one form, he's in Narayan Loka, or Vishnu Loka, and he's always chanting Narayan, Narayan. And when he had a discussion, there's one discussion between Kandarpa and Narada Muni. Kandarpa was very proudly talking to Narada Muni, saying, look, this is the night of Maharaj dance. And Kandarpa asked Narada where he was going. Or Narada asked Kandarpa where he's going. Kandarpa says, I'm going to the Maharaj dance in Vrindavan and the banks of Yamuna, because there's this one lusty man there, one lusty boy named Krishna Chandra. And he has all these gopis, these girls, the married girls over there. And I'm going to shoot them full of my arrows. And my panchasharai, my five arrows of lust. So Narada Muni, when he heard Kandarpa was very proudly and boastfully talking about how he subjugated the whole universe from Brahma to Shiva to everyone. Every time he would say a sentence, then Narada Muni would say, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Because he was trying to give the hint to Kandarpa that actually the only shelter is Narayan. By taking shelter of Shiva or Brahma or anyone else in his creation, you can never get free from lust. It's impossible to get free from Kandarpa. And Kandarpa was proudly saying how supreme he was, controlling everyone in the universe. But he failed to understand, although Narada was very cleverly giving him the message that, hey, wait a minute, Kandarpa, not Narayan. Anyone who takes shelter in Narayan, he will be free from your influence. And later Kandarpa came to understand that he was defeated himself by Krishna Chandra, who was the original Narayan, Adi Narayan. So that's why Krishna in any form can give shelter to the living entity. So Narayan is there as a super soul in the heart. When a living entity turns to the super soul, as every great sage and every great rishi and spiritual teacher will tell you, look for God within you. Seek the kingdom of God within. So that's our first introduction to the spiritual world. And our first introduction to God is when we cry out loud enough, when we cry out sincerely enough to pierce the coverings of the ego and reach the threshold of the super soul. But that may take thousands of births to come to that point of sincerity and that kind of crying. So when our crying gets to that point where it pierces the covering of our own ego, it doesn't go, because our soul is also covered by a universe in the form of this body, which has eight different layers, just like the universe itself has eight different layers. So when we cry out sincerely enough, our cry will reach through the final covering of the ego and arrive at the shore, the Karana Samudra of Shiradakshai Vishnu. And Shiradakshai Vishnu, the super soul, will reciprocate with that jiva and say, oh, you finally turned to me. You finally called to me. All right. Now I'll guide you. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon, Bhagyavana Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai, Bhakti Lata Beach. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, Riddesh Arjuna Tishtati, Brahmayan Sarvabhutani, Yantra Rudaya Maya. So that's Narayan. That's why the Lord is called Narayan in any form or feature. Narayan gives shelter to all living entities, so Krishna or any of the three Purusha avatars can give shelter to the living entities. Narayan also means one who witnesses everything. So Krishna, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu witnessed the living entity's activities. So they could also be called another Narayan. He is known as Narayan because his abode is in the water. He is Nara, an ayan, I said all that. He is a seer of all creation. Okay, now in the same verse, in verse 12, it talks about Yoga Nidra. Like when we take rest, we say Nidra, right? Nidra. There's one story in the Puranas, there was one Devi. So there's thousands and thousands of demigods that control all the functions of the body and all the functions of the universe. So, because this body, this human body, is simply one part of the universe. The demigods are controlling all the elements and all the bodies and everything, including ours. So there was one Devi named Nidra Devi, and she, when all the creation was going on, she was seeing that, you know, everyone was so enlightened in the age of Satyuga that people hardly slept. You know, in the beginning of creation, the first age, everything started off with Satyuga. That was like the very beginning, it was Satyuga. Then it went like that, in terms of eternal time. But Satyuga began on, I think it's Akshaya Tritya. The day of Akshaya Tritya, that day is the day that the day of the Satyuga begins. I believe it's Akshaya Tritya. That's why they call Akshay. Anything you do that on that day, it's in May, Akshaya Tritya. Anything you do that day has imperishable eternal results. So Nidra Devi, she asked Brahma, she said, well, where can I, you know, everyone's always awake and they're always meditating and they're all yogis and self-realized paramahamsas. No, there's no ignorance and no, there's just all sattva-gun everywhere. Where can I get some rest? And so Brahma said, well, sometimes when the sages are hearing the Bhagavad, when they're hearing Harikatha, then you can go over there and you can get a little rest over there. When the Bhagavad class is going on, you know, Bhagavad Saptaha or Bhagavatam, you know, class, you can go there, and I'm sure sometimes even those great Paramahamsa sages, they'll be a little drowsy and they'll sleep, and then you can get some shelter there. So that was, so she went there, and sure enough, she found so many places where she could, you know, get her rest. And that's been going on from Treta Yuga to Dwapara Yuga, and it's very prevalent now. It's very, very prevalent in Kali Yuga. There's a lot of ignorance in Kali Yuga. Sumanda Matayo, right? What's that verse? It talks about the first kind of, it talks about the nature of Kali Yuga. Slow, Sumanda Matayo. Manda Sumanda. Everyone's very slow and lazy. Laziness is one of the characteristics of this age, and certainly we are great proponents of that quality. So, this Nidra. But that, we're not talking about that Nidra. We're talking about Yoga Nidra. So yoga means connect. Like yoke, we say yoke. You know, yoking two bullocks together, two oxen, and you yoke them together with a piece of wood. Right? So yoga means to connect or join. So Yoga Nidra means connected sleep, or joined sleep. So that connected sleep means that Narayan is connected with somebody. He's connected with his consort. So it's divine lila. That's why it says it's ecstatic. Ecstatic bliss. The above mentioned Ramadevi is Yoga Nidra personified in the form of Yoga Maya. So for Vishnu, Yoga Nidra means intimate pastimes with Ramadevi. And it may appear that he's sleeping, but he's having lila. Just like it's described by different acharyas, that sometimes in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, after Ras Lila, the Radha and Krishna retire to Nikunj to rest after dancing and sporting in the Jamuna and having forest snacks and some nice bhojan. Then they feel some sleepy, tired. So they go in the Nikunj and they recline on some flower beds. So then Radharani, she goes into Swapna. Swapna Vilas. But then we see there's Swapna Vilas Amrita. Swapna Vilas Amrita means, Swapna means dream, and Amrita means nectar, and Vilas means pastime. So nectarian pastimes in a dream. So Radharani, she's dreaming that she's trying to, in her dream, she's resting. She sees herself resting in her dream. And then Krishna's approaching her and kissing her on the forehead or on the cheeks. And she's saying, hey, you know, just go to sleep. I'm tired. I just want to rest. Leave me alone. So, and then she's saying like this in her dream. And Krishna's, you know, kissing her forehead or cheeks. And then she wakes up.
Is that? All right.
Then Krishna's there, lying next to her, kissing her forehead. Exactly what she saw in the dream. So this is like Yoga Nidra, that it may appear when Krishna and his divine consort, whether they're awake or whether they're sleeping, even there's no such thing as sleeping, as Nidra, as gross ignorance as we see it. There's always Vilas. The Lila Purushottam. Krishna is known as Lila Purushottam. He's always engaged in Vilas. Vilas means pastimes or Lila. There's no such thing as like, you know, a dead slumber. Or like we say, oh, he's dead to the world. You know, or she's, you know, that means they're sleeping. He's soundly sleeping. In other words, total ignorance, total blackout. You know, you could blow up, set a bomb off in the house and the person wouldn't wake up. You know, they're completely like 25 alarm clocks. You know, this one set at that time and this one, that one. You know, some devotees have like, you know, quadraphonic alarm clocks. You know, like four alarm clocks in four directions. You know, it's or some devotees just get up with the birds, you know. You know, 5, 6 o'clock. Like in the village, the Vrijabhatis, they get up with the birds. They say, well, we don't want the alarm clock. We just sit there and rah, rah, rah. You know, the birds go off about half hour before sunrise and you get up. What's the big deal? But by that time, we've already chanted so many rounds and did Mangalartik and everything. Mangalartik wakes up the birds. And they say, hey, what? Dong, 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 samsara davang, dong, dong, dong. The birds are trying to sleep. Ah, these Hare Krishnas, don't they know? And I know, I can't wait till they take birth in Vrindavan. When all these guys finally take birth in Vrindavan, they'll be getting up at 5:30 and 6 and leave us alone, you know. But now it's dong, 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 dong. Viva Vari, Shesha, dong. You know, all those pigeons there, they're like, oh, my. You know, there's so many thousands of pigeons sleeping in a temple. So this Yoga Nidra is described. Something here. There's 2 points. The natural ecstatic trance of Mahavishnu, the Ladini Shakti Rama, or Yoga Maya. So it is a state in which the Lord is internally enjoying His pleasure potency rather than externally. Just like Radharani, externally she appears to be sleeping, but internally she's having a whole pastime. And then to show the reader, to show the worshipper of Radha and Krishna, that on that plane there is no difference, there's no external and internal. Just like there's no outside of Krishna's body, no inside. He doesn't have like a veins and bones. He's transcendental. He's Chit and Chinmaya. Satchit Ananda Bigraha. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Satchit Ananda Bigraha. So pastime is a, you know, it's internal pastimes with Ramadevi or external pastimes. The main thing is it's pastimes. Yoga Nidra is the second name of Ramadevi, Mahavishnu's divine consort. Yoga Nidra also refers to a state of divine sleep, but really it means the Supreme Lord Mahavishnu is reclining on the causal ocean enjoying Leela with Ramadevi. When the potency of the Lord is within Himself, this is called an internalized state of Leela, wherein Ramadevi is not manifest or visible. This is very interesting. This is very interesting purport by Jiva Goswami. I want to read that again, and I want you to think about this. When the potency of the Lord, in other words, what potency? What potency are we talking about? Ladini, right? Radharani. Or in this case, who's Radharani now? Ramadevi. Who's Ramadevi? The Shakti, the Yoga Maya, the lover of Mahavishnu, right? Okay. When the potency of the Lord is within Himself, what does that mean, within Himself? Not manifested externally. All right? Everyone agrees? I agree. Thank you. When the potency of the Lord is, just like Radharani sleeping, right? So she's dreaming, you know, so Krishna was coming there, and she was not manifest. She was internal in her dream, thinking, I'm alone. But then she's seeing Krishna in her dream, thinking, oh, what is Krishna doing? Then So Krishna was manifest inside of her and outside of her also. So this is interesting. When the potency of the Lord is within himself, this is called an internalized state of Leela. Internalized. You know what the word internalized means? Like, in other words, Radharani is having Leela inside her mind. Right? Internalized state of Leela, wherein Ramadevi is not manifest or visible. It's very nice, because in 1972, Prabhupada installed a deity in Lajpat Nagar, and the name of that deity was Radha Partha Sarathi. And at that time, Achyutananda Swami, who was associating with different Gaudiya Mas on Prabhupada's order, in fact, when he came to Calcutta, there was nowhere else to live but Madhav Maharaj's temple. So Prabhupada permitted him to live with Madhav Maharaj. So when he was there, he learned a lot of things from the Gaudiya Mas and different, you know, whatever. And so then he asked Achyutananda in 1972, he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this name, Radha Partha Sarathi, is bogus. There's no Radharani on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. How can you have Radha Partha Sarathi? Who's Partha Sarathi? What does the word Sarathi mean? Chariot driver of whom? A Partha. Who's Partha? Prita. Prita is the mother, you know, like in other words, it's Arjuna. The chariot, how can you have Radharani, Arjuna, and Krishna on a chariot in Kurukshetra? Radha's with Govinda, Radha's with Gopinath, Radha's with Shyamasundara, Madhava, Gokulananda, Krishna Chandra, Giridhari, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, right? He's with this is Radharani's with these personalities. She's not with Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, she's not with Ram, she's not with Narayan. She's not with Bhaji, what's she doing at Kurukshetra? How is it possible? So Prabhupada, this name you should change. This name is not good. This is 1972, 27 years ago, Baba. 27 years. And what did Prabhupada say? He said, no, there's nothing. Oh, then Prabhupada, what did Prabhupada say? Oh, you think? You think because Radharani's not, that Krishna goes somewhere without Radharani? See, Prabhupada's answer was, sometimes Radharani's visible, and sometimes she's not visible. Sometimes she's manifested, and sometimes she's not manifested. Sometimes she's external, and sometimes she's in an internalized state of Leela, where Radharani is not manifest or visible. So Krishna goes to Hastinapur, and then from Mathura to Hastinapur to Dwarka. You think he ever forgot Radharani? He's in Kurukshetra rather. From here to Mathura to Hastinapur to Kurukshetra, and then from Kurukshetra back to Dwarka. When he's in Dwarka, did Krishna ever forget Radharani? Yes or no? No. What's the proof? Because in Dwarka, he's always at night time, Radhe, 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 Radhe. And Rukmini and Satyabhama say, hey, Ari, who's that? Hey, Rohini! You're over there, what's going on? Who is this? Who is this Radhe, Radhe? And I want to know about it right now. Hey, lock the door. Subhadra, stay outside. See, it's like this, girl. Once upon a time, there was this beautiful boy, Kishore, and this beautiful girl, Kishore. So like that, and then, so Krishna never ever forgot Radharani, not for a second. And his idea was that Mahavishnu is there, and when you don't see Ramadevi, then he's in Yoga Nidra, means he's taken his potency within him, and he's gone, and he looks, oh, it looks like he's asleep by himself. Oh, he looks very like he's peacefully sleeping. But he's enjoying intimate conjugal pastimes with his eternal divine consort, Ramadevi. So Krishna can be doing many, many things at once. Sleeping in his chamber in Dwarka next to Rukmini, but where's his mind? His mind's in Vrindavan and he's having, Rati Keli with Radharani. And then there's the whole Lalita Madhav, where he goes into trance one day and he won't get out of bed, he's unconscious, and then they have to create Nava Vrindavan, New Vrindavan, Lalita Madhav by Rupa Goswami. So in the forest outside of Dwarka, they create New Vrindavan, and I don't mean, Palace of Gold either, West Virginia. It's a long way from West Virginia. And outside in the forest, they create New Vrindavan, and then they take Krishna there, and Radharani's there, and there's a whole scene going on there. So this Yoga Nidra is something extraordinary. Questions? Krishna, Vasudev Krishna, in other words, Krishna is always in Vrindavan, Shyamasundar Krishna, Yashodananda Krishna. But in another form, he goes to Dwarka. And when he's hankering for Vrindavan, in that form is Vasudev Krishna, when he's hankering for Vrindavan, and he's crying in Mahabhav separation, then he manifests the form of Jagannath. So Krishna is still in Vrindavan, as Shyamasundar, Yashodananda, but there's another Krishna in Dwarka known as Vasudev Krishna. The same Vasudev Krishna appeared in Mathura. So Vasudev Krishna, hankering for Vrindavan and hankering for Radharani, is the one we're talking about in Dwarka. It's a different Krishna. One and different. No, it's conceivable, but if this is how the Acharyas, we accept how the Acharyas explain it. Vrindavanam prityaja ekaparam nagachati. Krishna doesn't take one step outside of Vrindavan. So who goes out there? He expands. But he appears like he's not here for 100 years. But then he expands into a bhava roop. Bhava roop means his form of bhav, of mahabhav, of mahaprem. And that form is so real that the gopis have his darshan. And they feel that he's not here. I mean, they feel that he's here, although he's not here. It's a very deep thing.